never filtered, always fun.
You think Seagal would beat George Foreman?
He is above the law.
I used to love those movies.
It's always like a cop in Brooklyn or something.
Under Siege.
That does ninja tricks.
Yeah. It always has a little
like he's
dog.
Got a police outfit on, and then a smoke bomb will come up, and it just starts beating the hell out of people.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. We are live from the Mill Street Brewery Beer Hall, and we are feeling good, man. We are well fed.
Yes, the pretzel was outstanding.
Outstanding. I wanted to make sure it was just a pretzel. That's why I was asking.
With some salt on it.
A little bit of salt. I was being very diligent. I need to know these kind of things.
Went to work on the mac and cheese with chicken.
Yeah, we're feeling good, man. It's a great spot. The distillery is an outstanding part of the city. And you can feel a bit of a buzz. I mean, they're going to have the Leaf game going tonight. Of course, you can hear it right here on TSN 1050. And I was listening to Scotty Mack on the way down. And I think he made a strong case for this being the most anticipated season in a long, long time. And I think people might point to that 93-94 season after they went to the conference final the year before. But as Scotty Mack pointed out, the Jays were in the World Series or en route to the World Series. So not many people were paying attention to the Leafs. Even when they started 10-0 in 93-94, Jays were going back-to-back. So that was the focus in the city. Jays are out.
Yeah.
Raptors are in Hawaii. TFC's rolling. The Argos are rolling. But this is a Leaf town, and people are fired up for the game tonight.
And let's not forget about the information process, too. 93, people were excited, but it's almost like people live it a lot more now because of social media, and people have been connected and intertwined because
people
of
are back on the bandwagon. There were so many people over the years that were like, I can't even watch that team anymore. I don't even support them. Well, guess who's back?
Were you gone at all? At any point where you're like, I can't do it, to hell with this group, like the Leafs?
It's a sickness. It's a disease. You're always back. You're always watching.
No, but I mean, outside of the Joe from the Bridges, remember we brought him in and they were such a train wreck, and we were like, he's like, I'm done with them. And we said, what about free tickets? And
I moved down to South Florida when I was done, and they were brutal.
Yeah.
But I bought the hockey package for one reason.
To watch how brutal they were?
To watch the Leafs every night they played, and it's just why.
I said all throughout that reign of terror, the darkness that was just hanging over the city and this fan base, I didn't blame people for saying, I'm not showing up to the rink. I can't commit to 3 hours a night to watch every single game.
Right.
And I don't blame people for coming right back. This is why
It's why you're a fan.
You're a fan, exactly. You deserve to be disappointed when the team was a disaster.
You don't think the Cubs fans were somewhat ecstatic last year when they finally won the World Series after being garbage for so long?
That's the payoff. I mean, I admitted to that a couple of years ago. I wasn't watching every second of every game when they were tanking and trying to finish 30th. They were abysmal.
Right.
They were awful. They were impossible to get excited for. But I understood what the game plan was.
Right.
There was going to be a payoff. And guess what? The payoff begins tonight. It probably began this time last year, quite frankly, or even 16, 18 months ago when they won the lottery and they picked Austin Matthews, or we knew that they were going to pick Austin Matthews. But it was a long, long time where they were a really bad team. But get excited. I mean, you don't have to fake it. You don't have to try to convince yourself. This isn't like when Phil was here and Randy was here and Dion was here and Reimer was starting, where they had some talent and they had been to the playoffs against Boston, and you were convincing yourself, you know what, maybe they can make something work here. You don't have to convince yourself. They're that good. They're a good team. They should be a playoff team. TSN had their season preview. 25 different members of the TSN community all voted, and what did it culminate in? Them second place in the Atlantic. I think they're going to win the division. I know people are high on Tampa. Tampa's loaded with talent. I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa won, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Toronto Maple Leafs won the division.
Yeah,
I haven't said that in 15 years.
I think I had them right there, too. I believe I had Tampa 1, but I would have to go back in my notes, but there wasn't any reason.
I had Tampa 1 as well. Toronto 2. Ottawa 3? I might have won Ottawa 3.
I had Tampa, Ottawa, Montreal.
That's you had the Leafs in a wild card spot.
No.
Yeah.
No. Tampa. No.
Well, you just said Tampa, Montreal, Ottawa.
No. I had Ottawa in a wild card spot. I had Tampa, Toronto, Montreal.
All right.
That's what I had.
Good to clarify these things.
I've got
we
to
need
clarify.
To know this kind of stuff out of the gate.
Yeah, exactly. I'm rambling now, but that's where I had it.
Yeah, listen, I think that is a reasonable expectation. They're loaded with talent. There's only one rookie going tonight. I mean, considering where they were a year ago with all those rookies making their debuts, the sixth defenseman is not going to get a ton of attraction tonight. I mean, there aren't going to be a lot of people wondering what Andreas Borgman is going to do. I think Babcock said it appropriately today. His piece of advice, stay out of the video room tomorrow. Don't be a part of the game tape tomorrow. In other
right.
words, don't do anything stupid on the ice. That
don't
we're gonna
do
isolate.
Anything stupid crazy good or don't do anything stupid crazy bad. Because you know what happens when you do something crazy good?
Yeah.
They expect it 82 times. So just go out there, be a pro, look like an NHLer, and avoid the video session with a coach of some sort tomorrow. That's what you're doing.
Ease into it.
Yeah, you're not getting – there's no positive video sessions
ever. And you know what? A young kid like that, he's already proven to – I'm sure guys around the league are always watching video and watching highlights. Establish yourself a physical presence, and as a young guy, it's amazing how much more room and space you'll have and time with the puck. Because I always say, going in the corner with Scott Stevens, I might not want to take the most direct route.
Yeah, because you got to tie. I would tie or just
– And it's not being a chicken. It's just – being smart. Do you want to go in there and get killed? I'd rather try to kill him. Delay a little bit.
Here's a question for you. Will there be a face-off violation tonight?
I bet you the linesmen have all said piss on this. I'm not being the guy. I don't want it. I don't need it.
This isn't the playoffs. It's not the playoffs. First game of the season. Are they going to change from the preseason? The
I guarantee you the linesmen wanted it gone just as much as the players.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen tonight.
I don't
so
either.
It's a 0%.
Well, no, I'm not going to say 0%. I would say 15% chance it happens. But I also think, you know, to the players' credit, it feels like they realize
adjusted.
The second guy goes in, it's like, you know what, I'm not going to test it. I'd rather lose the draw outright
right.
than end up in the box. So I'm not anticipating it will happen. I hope not. I'm kind of with O. I think the refs are kind of like, forget this. I don't want to be the enemy in this building.
I agree, but
this is a big test, again, for the Leafs on the road. The MTS Center will be rocking tonight. Rocking. 15,000 plus. It'll be loud, but there will also be a lot of Leaf fans in attendance. Someone sending me a tweet in the last hour said he just landed in Winnipeg. He's downtown. Lots of Leafs jerseys. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's happening, Ray?
Just back home and getting ready to scan around some games tonight. And it's exciting to start, right? Like, no more anymore who's on, who's in, who's, you know, like, it's time to play. I mean, that's the best time.
Well, we were saying this, that in a way, for the four Canadian teams, it's obviously not a must-win, but it's a statement game because the Leafs, they want to prove that they can get off to a good start. And last year wasn't a fluke. Winnipeg is one of those sweetheart teams that people are picking to make the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And Edmonton and Calgary got in last year for the first time in a while. So these are four potential playoff teams in terms of the two Canadian matchups. And I'm sure they're all thinking, hey, let's hit the ground running tonight.
Well, the early part of the year is such a tough thing to get a handle on because if you suck early and lose two or three out of your first four, you know, you can't really panic, right? Because there's still so much to go. But now you're like, oh man, we're a little bit behind the eight ball. We got to get going here. Or if you win four straight, well, it's nice to have the points in the bank, but it's not a deal breaker as far as, these guys are going to be in for sure. The season's so long. And I guess this is why coaches fret over everything. And we're like, man, why don't they ever relax? And it's because the game today, they play poorly. We can say, like a team plays poorly tonight, we can say, there's 81 to go. Well, the coach is like, man, we got to fix this. We got to fix it now. It can't, you know, like the pressure to play well now with the parity seems to start earlier. Before, I think you could get your head around an uneven start a little bit. You start 1-7-3, you might never make it back up.
Ray, what were your emotions like in the first game of the season? Did you always feel comfortable? I always felt a little kind of nervous energy, and the puck was bouncing, and it was a little bit faster, and I could never, I don't know, I don't think I ever really played well in the first game.
I'm exactly like that. It didn't seem to matter if I played 4 exhibition games or 7 exhibition games. The season would start, and I remember, you know, having this thought a lot of times, like, holy crap, like this game is fast. And you're like, but I've been in a league forever. I should know this. Like, it wasn't even because I was young. It didn't matter. It was like, you know, it just got kicked up another notch. And then nobody's saying as you go into the corner, heads up. You know, even on the other team like you do in preseason, right. You know, heads up. Now they just, like, flatten you, and you're like, holy crap, I got to get ready for that, too. I found it a big jump.
You're right. And plus you're waiting for the firsts. So whether it's the first, for you guys, the first assist, first goal, like first feeling of
first
something.
First time you get knocked on your ass.
Right, like there's so many firsts, and now it counts, right? Like it counts on the stat sheet. For me, it's my first save or my first goal against or how things were. I don't know, Ray, were you on the Islanders coming out of the lockout?
Yes.
I think we lost opening night like 5-2 to Buffalo. I remember thinking, God, we're terrible. And I was the goalie. I was no good that night.
Hey, but just think, you're like, it's one game. Like, you look back at it now and you're like, man, we had 47 games left. What I do remember about that was we didn't start very well. And because the season was short, it just felt like we were never going to catch up, which we didn't.
Right.
And I, you know, I look at teams now that if you play really poorly in October and you get into that 20 game mark by American Thanksgiving and you're not in touch with the pack, how do you make up the points? All the teams are all the same. You know, like there's not, if you're 8 points out, how are you, you know, you can climb out, there's 60 games left, but man, it seems like it's an impossibility to get all that way back. That's where I guess the extra pressure comes to the start. And then as for the first, I just wanted to get on the board. I hated seeing my name down at the bottom of the stat sheet with no points, you know, 2 or 3 games in, and always some goalie would get an assist early and you'd be behind the goalie.
And
you feel like such a donkey. You're like, I don't even know how to play anymore. And I could feel myself like a, not panic, but whatever's next door to panic, that's what I would feel.
Leafs in Winnipeg tonight taking on the Jets. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. We're chatting with Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
Ray, with all the signings, I know Eichel got it done yesterday. There's been Draisaitl, there's been McDavid. Do you think this trio of young Leafs, it might be difficult to go through this year with not kind of being distracted about that? Because they're all kind of probably thinking to themselves, they're not stupid. They hear the hype. They know the stats. They know what they're doing, and they know what they want to do. Just to go through a year and not think about this?
Well, I think that would be impossible. How could you not, if you're any one of those three guys, when you go lie down and you got a quiet moment, not think about what $6 to $10 million looks like per year?
Oh, I know.
Like your life is completely different and changed forever.
Yeah, like you're pimping it.
If you can spell your name, it's different. And now you got to get through the year. The one thing will be those guys will have is I think at any sign of not inattentiveness, Babcock will be all over them. Like he will not let those guys breathe in this year for that reason. Like otherwise, say they start slowishly. Like, say Matthews doesn't get 4 goals this year, and now he's behind his 40-goal pace of, or 4 goals tonight, and he's behind his 40-goal pace of last year. Say you go a couple of weeks and he's got 2 goals. Be easy to start to, man, I got to score. Well, guys are special or not. Everybody's the same. You know what you're supposed to do. Nylander would be the most important of the trio, I think, because his contract's up. Like, he's under the gun the most out of them, too. You know, he's in the true contract year. I think it'll be interesting to watch, because aside from all this, most second-year players have at least some part of the year where they go into a dip.
Yeah.
Well, and it's all about comparables, right? And Nikolaj Ehlers gets 7 years at $6 million. He had 64 points a year ago. I think that's a pretty good comparable to Marner and to Nylander. So Nylander's probably sitting there saying, okay, if I get to 64-plus, I'm looking at least $6 million. And, you know, to your point about Babcock's position in all of this, the organization long-term might be thinking, you know what, if we can still win games and these guys take their foot off the pedal a little bit, maybe we get them at a cheaper price. But Babcock's thinking, I need everything I can get out of them. So he's going to be all over them to put up as many points as they can to help this team win as much as they can. And I wonder if, on the flip side, a guy like Phil Housley, who's a rookie head coach in Buffalo, is thinking to himself, kind of wish Eichel was still a bit hungry for that new deal.
No kidding.
Like, I kind of wish my GM let him at least play a few
months. Marinate a little while.
Marinate a little bit, and hey, you got to prove it to me, the new coach, because Jack Eichel now, he's money. He got his $80 million. Now, I think he'll keep performing. He's a talented guy, but he's more powerful than Phil Housley, and Phil Housley hasn't coached one game.
He's more powerful. I think he was more powerful before he signed. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, Eichel is, it appears, carries great weight there. And there's two ways to go. You could get, you know, a guy can get soft, right? A guy can get a little comfy and maybe not be as good after signing a big deal. Or he can just feel fantastic and have a great year. For whatever reason, I liked the security of being signed. So my best years, if I go back through my career and I have looked, my best years came after I'd signed extensions. Kind of the wrong way to make money, but that's where I had my best years. And so Eichel last year, you know, he had a really good year after his high ankle sprain. Like, if he sees Mark Scheifele in the top five scorers, wouldn't he want to be there too? Like, yeah. I, if these guys, I don't know, if they're not motivated, then you should be doing that research before you put the ink to paper. They better know that he's a hungry guy. Because if he's not, my God, they've just paid a bucket load of money to somebody that they're going to be paying it for the next 8 years.
Oh, they're locked in now, and he's a remarkable talent, and his points per game was spectacular a year ago. But
let me ask you this. Would you trade Jack Eichel for Leon Draisaitl? If you were Edmonton and they called up and said, do you want Eichel? Well, give us Draisaitl. Would you do it?
Interesting.
No.
I think Eichel is a more dynamic player.
I think he is too, but I'm comfortable. If I'm in Edmonton, I know Draisaitl can play with McDavid.
No, but that doesn't matter. You just had this question from O. Yeah.
I'm just talking about the player itself. Regardless, Draisaitl can play center. He can play. See, I would take Draisaitl.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
The thing is, I've seen more out of Draisaitl because I've seen him in the playoffs. I focused on him because of who he's playing.
And that's probably why I think the way I do. And I said it yesterday in the preseason show. Jack Eichel's got to prove now that what his skill set and what his talents are, it is good enough to get Buffalo over the hump and into the playoffs. It's got to be winning Jack Eichel hockey. Not just talented Jack Eichel. And I think there were some discussions in Minnesota and Dallas for a long time. Can we win with Mike Modano, or is he just a good player? And it took him a long time to prove to everybody that he was talented enough and good enough to get the job done in the playoffs. I'm sure Craig was in some discussion saying, can we actually win with this guy?
Well, just think, though, of the example you gave with Draisaitl. Eichel is the McDavid to who in Buffalo? Right, like Draisaitl gets to be the second fiddle,
right? Yeah.
And Eichel just doesn't have that luxury. The next guy they got there offensively is Evander Kane, who's now in the last year of his contract.
And he's also injured, isn't he?
Well, is he banged up now?
I don't know.
I might have missed that. But I mean, just think, they're relying. Those guys have to carry the offense. They're going to move Sam Reinhart back to the middle, which is his natural position. they got Ryan O'Reilly. Like, do they have enough to surround Eichel? But there's no question, he's not one of the guys anymore. He's out front. He's the guy.
Yeah, he's the man. Like, he, to your point, he was anyway, but now it's a full commitment from ownership, a new GM, a new coach. I don't know how much they really know him. How much could Jason Botterill really know Jack Eichel?
They gave him the keys of the car. They're like, go ahead.
It's from the owner down, too. And let's not forget, and this is no slight on Buffalo, but it's Buffalo. I grew up in Edmonton. It's Edmonton. It's Winnipeg. It's Buffalo. These are places that it's an acquired taste. And
you got to pay a tax, potentially.
You've got to pay, you know, a little bit of – but if Jack Eichel wants to be there – whether you believe he had leverage or not, I was just thinking of your question. I'm not convinced that Draisaitl could just stand alone as a star. I think Eichel can. Now, again, I've only seen Eichel play. I saw him a little bit at junior prep camp and stuff, but...
You know what? 6 months from now, I might change my answer and say, you know what? Jack Eichel is the real deal, and he is one hell of a player, and he is
but
just
But he's got to prove it to you.
But here's the reality. In modern-day NHL... the real question is Eichel $1.5 million better than Draisaitl?
And to me, it's a hell no.
That's the question.
And it's a hell no, Brian.
And here's the other thing, though, guys, about that, too, is, like, last year Mark Scheifele signed his big extension.
Right.
Is Jack Eichel $4 million better than Mark Scheifele?
No.
No.
Not a chance.
No.
But when you
Not
sign...
Not a chance in hell.
Yeah, when you sign, you're going to get leaped over.
Yeah.
And... so now, when that deal came down, Austin Matthews should have been giggling.
Oh,
yeah.
And when Ehlers' deal came down, Nylander should have been holding his belly, mm-hmm. like
well,
because you're gonna leapfrog him. You're next.
Yeah,
that's the way it works.
Well, if Austin Matthews is up for a Hart Trophy, he's probably going to say, you know what, maybe I'm not Connor McDavid, but I want 11.5. So that's
or
that.
Maybe I am Connor McDavid and I want 12.5.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking a lot about Matthews in the first hour, and I separate him from everyone else on the team. I think he's one of those special players who will just continue to grind and continue to put up goals and put up points. And, you know, you look at what happened a year ago. There was so much focus on the rookies and all that they did because it was such a spectacular season, almost unprecedented from a youth standpoint. But the veterans had career years. Kadri had a career year. JVR, Bozak. Which group do you think has a more realistic chance of coming back to earth, so to speak?
Oh, the veterans.
The veterans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you have a career year at 31 years old or however old Bozak is,
yeah,
like it's really hard to duplicate that. Like, you got to look at the body of work beforehand, and you'll probably regress a little bit towards his average. You know, so Kadri had 31 goals, like, is he a 30-goal scorer? I don't know. I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have thought he was, you know, he wouldn't have been at 50-50 goals and assists. But what if he comes back 5 goals? What if Bozak comes back 8 or 10 points and JVR doesn't get to 29, he gets to 24? Like, all that seems relatively possible to me.
I'm with you. I think the kids are – I think you even look at a guy like Connor Brown – who's starting on the fourth line, I don't think it's a lock that he only ends up with 10 or 12 goals because of where he's currently slotted. I think he's going to be getting power play moments, minutes. I think he'll move up and down the lineup when there are injuries or when guys play poorly. I could see Connor Brown tucking in 15 or 20.
Well, don't forget, last year there was long stretches where Brown was not very productive. And then he got 3-1 night. And then he got going a little bit, and then he went quiet again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's every year is so different.
Right.
And the guys that can do it year after year after year consistently, like, get into a range, say it is 15 to 20, that's the range, and you do it year after year after year, that's a pretty, pretty stout NHL career. And that's what makes a guy like Marlowe a Hall of Famer, is since... whenever he's done it kind of in the same range all the time.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss any games. He scores, kills penalties. Like, and now we'll see how he does in Toronto. New conference, new team, and everything's different. Everything's new. we'll see how it all goes.
That's where I was just going to say, Ray. Were you even thinking about Patrick Marleau's debut tonight? Anybody? Like, we haven't mentioned his name once, and we're an hour and a half into the show.
No, we talked about it in his first preseason game. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
No, it's a perfect situation for him, though, isn't it? I mean,
he's right.
In Toronto, and we're talking about Andreas Borgman making his debut. And we've
it's
got
true.
A potential Hall of Famer who's going to make his debut as a Leaf.
Like shot out of a cannon tonight.
Marleau?
No, Borgman.
I know. I'm worried he might kill somebody tonight.
Well, Ray, we were talking earlier. Isn't it important for him to kind of establish himself under control, a physical presence, and then people will know, maybe I don't want to go in the corner for that puck. Maybe I don't want to battle with that guy.
Yeah, I think he's more likely to take a 12-foot run at somebody tonight. You know, like I just, there's something about him when I was watching him in the first time I saw him in that exhibition game against Ottawa, and he was just like flying into the play, and he had a couple of really good hits. He ended up fighting somebody, and then he ended up missing on a couple of hits too. And I'm like, man, this guy is aggressive.
Yeah.
And tonight will be tough to keep everything under control, man. He's like any other kid. It's a dream. You get to play in the NHL. The building will be just bouncing, and here's going to have his first chance to hit somebody. You think he's going to ease into it? Not a chance.
No, and yeah. I mean, to your point, MTS Center opening night, Leafs. I mean, this is not like he's playing against the Panthers on a Tuesday in November. That place will be electric tonight.
That'd be a fun place to start. That's even on the road. It's just a fun place when the building's just is so lively. And so I know everybody's looking forward to getting the season underway, but this one and the Battle of Alberta are going to be two real fun games to watch.
As far as the Leafs go, Ray, quickly, 1-3. Who's feeling the most stressed tonight in the opener for the Leafs? The coach, the goalie, Matthews?
I think the coach is always the most stressed guy because he's worried about everybody. I think Matthews will not Matthews. I think Nylander because he's in that last year. Like this is with all the contracts bouncing around, he's the guy that's in the last year, not Marner, not Matthews, Nylander. And then you know who else I really think like a guy like Connor Brown, he can say you accept where you are, but this is the start of you pressing for more ice time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't
well
wait
said,
for
buddy.
It. It's going to be awesome tonight, buddy. Enjoy it. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are now on with 0% financing and lease rates on the Corolla and RAV4. Visit MapleToyota.ca. Jerry's percentages and Jerry's props next. We are live from the Mill Street Brewery Beer Hall in the Distillery District. Mill Street Brewery, great beer lives here, one of the great spots downtown. They will have the game rocking tonight. Leafs Jets, you can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Pre-game in just under an hour. Puck drop in just under 90 minutes. Joe Bowen, Jimmy Ralph will have the call tonight. We're looking forward to it.
There will be an on-fire segment, a little something called Yes Guy, No Guy.
Greg Gilbert doesn't know what he has coming at him around 6:45. 6:45, 6:50, the Tat Man will be bringing out Yes Guy, No Guy in the pregame. So we're looking forward to that. Noodles had to run out and pump some money into the green pea.
You know what? I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I said that he would be back on time, and he's not.
I knew he wouldn't be. And I'll guarantee it's my car that threw the curveball because he knows where he's parked. But I said, hey, dude, throw a couple bucks into mine.
Well, did you give him your keys?
I gave him my keys,
oh, okay.
Yeah. But he doesn't know what it looks like. He doesn't really know where it is. So maybe Noodles will be back. Maybe he won't. Jerry's percentages, as we know, is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from two people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking for you. Go to 942 The Queensway, bestpc.ca. 942 The Queensway, bestpc.ca. Noodles is back. Let's get to Jerry's.
Yes.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
Jerry's back. Tell a friend.
No, no, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, so Jerry's busy tonight. The NHL season is kicking off. 4 games league-wide. Jerry didn't have time to call in. He did have time to send me an email. So we're going to do this a little bit differently today. Instead of throwing to Jerry's hot takes, we're going to have a few hot takes that I will read. And Jerry has a bunch of Maple Leaf props. So it's Jerry's percentages and Jerry's props. This is the first. We've never done this before.
So you're mixing it up?
Mixing it up. Jerry, he's a busy man, but I guess last night he found time to put these together. You guys want to begin with the Leafs props or the hot takes?
What do you think?
Percentages or props?
Let's go with props.
Props.
You want to kickstart this party?
Yes.
With some props. Courtesy of our boy, Geraldo.
And
Jerry.
The hot chicks have started showing up.
Oh,
to the
yes.
Mill
We've had
it's getting crazy in
yes.
here.
Wow.
It's getting crazy.
Awesome in here now.
All right. So first Maple Leaf prop moving into a new season. Total points for the Leafs this season, 96.5.
Ooh.
Do you, like, research the numbers?
Yeah,
or do
that's
you come
a
up
degenerate
with
number because it's very, very...
It's an easy one
it's
for me.
It's a coin flip for me. I'll go over.
You're going to get 200 points.
No,
that's
no.
what Hayes
I got I'll go over.
If I think they're winning the division, you think I got over the number?
Yeah, yes.
You do.
Yeah, I do. Noodles?
Noodles is going under.
No, 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 I'm not.
Noodles,
I'm,
go under if you think they're going under.
I'm not because I think you're going over that number. But what 97?
96.5. You think they'll get to 97 points?
I do.
All of us are over.
We're all over the number. Total goals for Austin Matthews. This may cause a bit of a scene. 39.5.
Under. I said it. I've got to stand by. I've got to stand by my comment.
You stand by it. I'm going over. I'm standing by mine. I'm going over. 38 would be a hell of a season.
Exactly. Exact my point.
It would be a great season, but I think he can do better than that. I think he will. I think he's getting over 40.
I'll toss it. I earlier said, I think it was on the quiz, under, because it's so difficult to repeat and do that 2 years in a row. He's going to be seeing tough defense pairings. But from what I've seen in training camp, that's not my answer anymore. I'm going over.
Over the number. Total points for Austin Matthews, 74.5. 74.5 total points.
Over. Because I said, like 38 or 37 points, but like 75, 76. Over.
So you're over 74.5.
I am. I 70,
I'm going to go
points.
Over that as well. This is just such a, these are lob balls. I feel like it's
well,
a lob ball because I'm going over on everything.
If you're a super fan, it's a lob ball. If you're,
if you're a super fan. So this guy doesn't deserve the confidence of a fan
base. I'm just
base
saying. But
or an objective journalist.
It's what I'm trying to be is objective. I got my head bit off when I said the guy's going to go score 38 goals.
No, that's not what you said, though. You said everything went his way last year.
It did.
And you don't think it'll happen again. All I responded with was, I don't think you're giving him enough credit that he made it go his way.
Right.
I think superstar players, that's what they do.
True.
I think superstars make their own luck.
That's
and I expect him to continue to do that. I think he's a superstar. I'm over the number. Total points for Mitch Marner and William Nylander. We'll do a double shot here. 62.5. Marner and Nylander. You can be over on one, under on the other. Over for both, under for both.
I can't keep going over for both, but I can't pick which one's going to go under. I'm going to go a coin flip. One of them will be under.
Yeah.
You're not putting a name on it?
No.
You're just going to say one of them?
I can't put a name on it.
I think Nylander's going to go over because I think he's playing with Matthews.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you. I feel like Marner may step back a little bit. He's such a spectacular talent. It's hard to believe.
There's no reason to make you think that, though. That's the thing. Like,
right.
Objectively. But like I said last year, I feel like everything went so perfect. There's going to have to be some bumps in the road. It may be the other guys that you talked about, Kadri, Bozak, JVR.
Well, and Marner's playing with Bozak and JVR. I don't think they're both going to have career years again.
But
so if they fall back a bit, I could see Marner being subjected to that.
Or we can logically still argue that they're going to get lesser pairings. They're going to get lesser. So they're going to get – and Marner's going to be on the power play.
Absolutely.
Let's not forget. So
all year.
I could see them both going over. I would comfortably not have a problem with it. But I still think that there's going to be a collective burp for one of these guys. I'll say one over, one under. I'm not naming names.
Presuming health. Total starts for Freddie Anderson, 62.5.
Over. I say 65.
I'm over, too, on that one. He's going to...
65.
Curtis McElhaney was brought in to play 15 games.
Yeah,
and I think, again, you look at October, they have one back-to-back in October. I think he can go 11 of the first 12 right off the hop.
Even 10, even if you just had, for some
spot
reason.
Spot him another one, give
but
him 10.
The point being is that with health, 65 is a very, very healthy number that is achievable for Frederick Anderson, who's a strong goalie. Like, he's a horse. This is a big man you're dealing with.
Yep. Total goals for Nazem Kadri, 24.5.
I think he can get 25.
Yeah, I think he can get 25. I'll go over that one.
I don't think he's 30, but I think he's 25 every
day. I think
if
he got 20 goals, it's a good year.
I'm going to go under because of that. I mean, last year he had, I think, 31, 32. He had a remarkable year. That's where everything went his way. I mean, Kadri's a really good player, but he's a second-line center, and I think he's going to continue to get defensive matchups. Going to score goals. He's going to want to score goals. He'll get power
play
opportunities.
He'll bang him into the power play. What he did last year is he understands that for him to score goals, I think he realizes wrist shot is not that lethal from outside the dots.
He figured that out.
He
got
in there.
You've
got to get inside and bang it in and use your hands in tight, and that's what he did. That's how he scores his goals.
Total wins against the Montreal Canadiens, 1.5.
Over. It's got to be over this year.
They've lost 14 in a row.
It's got to stop.
Play how many games? Six?
They play four against
four?
Them.
So you're thinking two out of four? Achievable.
Habs do own them.
I say they get one out of four. They break it, but I don't think they get I don't think they get two.
The Habs have owned them for years.
I'm going to say they get two this year.
I'm with you. I'm over the number. That's my guarantee. They're going to beat the Habs at least once.
They will once.
This year. All right, a couple of percentages. Jerry again, emailing them in. He's a busy guy. Jerry believes Austin Matthews will score more goals than Patrick Laine this season. What's your percentage on that being true?
8%.
Matthews more than Laine.
Don't shoot the messenger. That's courtesy of Jerry.
55%.
Ooh, you're on the positive side.
That is my percentage. It probably took yours.
56%. I'll go one ahead of you just to try to get in the winner's column. I think this is a coin flip. I wouldn't be shocked if he led the league in goals. I think he's a spectacular player. He's not playing with Scheifele and Wheeler off the hop. He's technically on the second line. I don't know how that's going to factor in, but I think Matthews is a true goal scorer. I think they both are. I wouldn't sell either guy short. You look at what they both did in the preseason, I'll lean towards Matthews. The Vegas Golden Knights will finish dead last this season.
I don't think they will.
Who's worse than
25%.
Who's worse than them, though? Colorado's not doing what they did last year.
Who knows what
as
that
As much
team.
As you think. Varlamov's healthy.
I just don't think they're going to finish dead last for some reason. I know they're probably going to be bad and not win a ton, but I don't see them being the worst team in the NHL.
I've watched them play three games now. I've been paying attention to them. You're right. There's some talent there. They got goaltending. Like, their D aren't embarrassing. They got a good coach in Gerard Gallant. But I look at the potential bottom feeders in the NHL. Colorado comes to mind.
Detroit
really comes to mind. I just don't like what's going on there. They're in a rebuild. I don't see Arizona. I don't like what's been going on. I know the analytics guys think that Chyka's been pulling deals left and right, thinking he's doing a good job. I'm not loving Arizona this year. A couple years from now, yes. But I think Arizona would be the only team that would really... I think...
So you think Jerry's got this one right?
91%.
Yeah, I'm high on this. I still think all that was made about the expansion draft, and they got Marc-Andre Fleury. He's going to win them some games. But I don't know who's going to score there. The defense is maybe better than I thought it was going to be, but that's not a star-studded defense. Not even close. And I'm high. I'll say 85%. I'm high. There's a chance Colorado. I mean, Colorado was historically awful last year.
Yeah.
Trying to be good.
But I still think Vegas is in the lead on that. All right, final Jerry's percentage. Both Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid will finish top three in points this season. Both
95%. 95%. That's what these guys do. They just know how to be better than everybody else, and they know how to produce better than everybody else. It's very simple.
95%. Sid, McDavid versus the field, essentially, to be top three.
95%.
Top three, yeah, because you got another guy in there. But, man, there's...
It's a lot of good players in the league.
I was just going to say, like, I'm looking at guys like Kane. Jamie Benn, I think, is poised to do something. Like, that Dallas team, I think, is actually going to...
That whole line,
their head
man.
Out of their ass and get going this year.
Sagan, Ben, and Radulov, that could be
that
lethal.
Dallas team got some love in the polling.
They should
a bit
some
too
love.
Much, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Prove it before I'm willing to go, you're in the cup final. I think they were in the cup final, courtesy
yeah,
of TSN.
Yeah, I didn't have that. But
prove it before you put a ring on it.
That's right.
Where are you at, Hayes?
I'm high because I think McDavid's a lock, presuming health. He's top three in points. I think he'll lead the league in points. So it's Sid.
And somebody else.
And somebody else. I'm high. You said 95%. I'll say 85%. I'll go back to the well at 85%. You have to feel good about these two finishing top three in points.
61%.
Just in case. Could be fourth. Still, a great year.
I think there's the league is too good right now. We're leaving somebody out that we're missing.
Maybe 34.
Maybe 34.
Maybe Laine. Maybe Scheifele.
It could be Draisaitl. It could be some. Jamie Benn, I just mentioned. Patrick Kane's not, you know, all of a sudden didn't forget to play hockey.
No, a lot of good players. Brad Marchand,
you know,
Kucherov.
Think, you know, I think could have an amazing season this year. Bounce back is Corey Perry.
Corey Perry.
Like that guy's, you know.
Hall of Famer.
He had a bad season last year.
There you have it. Jerry's percentages and Jerry's props.
Pretty good props and percentages there.
Yeah, he worked them up last night. He's a busy man, Jerry. And that, of course, brought to you by Best Portuguese Chicken. Go to bestpc.ca. Overdrive is live from the Mill Street Brewery Beer Hall in the Distillery District. Mill Street Brewery, great beer lives here. We're teeing up the game tonight. Dreger is in Winnipeg. We'll go to Winnipeg in the 6 p.m. hour.
And I see a man in the crowd who told me he wasn't having a beer for 6 months.
And now he's drinking.
And what's he doing right now?
Smashing a beer.
Yes.
And he looks comfortable.
And I'm going to search out somebody in the crowd because I'm going to have a word with them.
Let's do that. We'll get to the bottom of it. We're live at the Mill Street Brewery Beer Hall downtown. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Don't forget, listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day on Friday, calling with the names of all five players. You can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on Chicago October 9th down at the ACC. This week's theme is players who have played for both Toronto and Chicago, and today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Chris Versteeg. Chris Versteeg, your boy, Noodles.
Love Steeger.
Verbeauty.
He's a good man.
He's a good man. Chris Versteeg is your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day.
I wonder if Assface will make it in there.
Assface can get in there.
He started his career in Chicago, didn't he?
Or was
no,
it
the
Islanders?
Islanders, Vancouver,
Islanders.
Chicago. Islanders with me, actually.
That's right.
I played with Caber his first year.
You and Brian McCabe, and then he moved on to Chicago. I think Dougie Gilmore was on that team with Brian McCabe.
Our buddy Strudwick.
Struddy was on that team.
When Struddy had hair.
We might have to put Caber and Dougie Gilmore in as the final two guys.
Ooh.
You don't really remember Gilmore in Chicago, but I think he had the C on when he was there.
Yeah, he signed a big deal there. I think he signed a 3-year, $8 million per year deal.
Really?
Yeah, three times six or something like that.
Worth every penny.
Absolutely.
Every penny. We love Dougie Gilmore.
Some pea soup kicking around in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. They know how to mix up a pea soup and a tuna sandy in the Windy City.
You know it.
Darren Dreger is in Winnipeg. We're going to catch up with Dregs, get a read on the vibe in the city.
What's the Cougar Bar in Winnipeg?
There's a Cougar Bar in the Peg?
Christine's. Oh,
yeah. No. It's called the Palomino something.
Oh, the Palomino. Yeah, I've been there.
Holy crap, can the Palomino get feisty?
It used to be very gritty. Very,
I'm very expecting grittiness tonight.
We've got to ask Dregs if he went to the Palomino last night.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of it. And We'll keep teeing up the game tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050.
It's pretty bad that he mentioned another one.
I know. Christine's. What,
this
Christine's?
Is from like 1993.
Yeah. Christine's was probably a great spot, too.
I went there with the Pierre Turgeon.
We're going to Google it in the break.
Yeah. Let's find some more details on Christine's.
Snow Leopard Zoo.
Capital of the world.
Yes.
We're live at the Mill Street Brewery Beer Hall down in the Distillery District. Mill Street Brewery, great beer lives here, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app.